This week is Parshas Nosai. So state in the Pasuk, then the Nesiim came and they gave wagons as part of their korban that was going to be used for carrying the different parts of the Arim. So the Torah says that Vnei Kohos Loi Nosa Ki Avoides HaKodesh Aleyem B'Koseh Kiso. Kohos was not given any wagons because they had to carry the Kalim, and that has to be carried on the shoulder, Pasnish to carry it in the wagon. That was the attitude. The emphasis is, you find that Shevet Kohos had a very dangerous job, because when the Levim died, because they got too close, and they, whether they looked or they touched or they were disrespectful, but so it says at the end of last week's parsha, at the very end, after Ma'idaber Hashem and Moshe Aron Leimur, Al Tachrisu Hashevet Mishpachos Hakos, you don't let the Kohos family be wiped out. You do this for them. Begishtim is Kodesh HaKadosh, and when they come to the Kodesh, aren't they going to be voted with some way, some Ishish, so you appoint them to their jobs, because otherwise they're going to fight over it, and they're going to abandon the Menorah and the Shul, because everyone wants to carry the Arim, and they're going to the Bezoyim to the to the order, the handle Rai, you take care of appointing everybody. The other thing is, they shouldn't see the Kedah, they shouldn't see the Orin HaKodesh. So when you cover it, they won't see it, they won't die. The Vice Kehois, you'll see later on when they count Klal Yisrael, Shevet Levi was the smallest Shevet, even though they were counted from the age of 30 days old. It was the Pshat, because a lot of them happened dying in the Avoida of the Orin HaKodesh. So the Kasha, simple Kasha, why didn't they have enough seichel to be careful? What's going on over here? You know that this is dangerous. You know that they're Alevim dying. Why don't they just stand back and only let the Gedoyle Yoylon carry it and be careful? Why did it have to happen? So many people died. That's the first question. There's a couple of questions I want to ask.
It's very hard to be a Zohar.
I mean, like to tell people.
Why you
know,
to be a Zohar properly is not so
bad. At least I can't ask what people know what smoking does, so how do you smoke it? So that's one question. A couple of questions. They don't sound like they're connected, but we'll see later. Another question you can ask is, we say by benching, so the Shmorks gave us Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Chemda Tei Rechava. So you can ask, what's the big Yichas Eretz Yisrael? I mean, Mitzrayim has a Nile. They never have to worry about rain. The Nile irrigates the land. Eretz Yisrael, they have droughts and they have problems and they worry about rain. Every Arab country is loaded with oil, like, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, they've been drilling for 20 years, they haven't found a drop of oil, right? You know, if it's such a great land, we should have oil deposits, we should have a Nile, we should have all this stuff, like, those Eppes, and Eretz Yisrael, that's a chumuturin, what's the shot? Why is it Eretz Chemda? You find another question, David HaMelech says, Shifti b'veis Hashem k'olim echad, I want to sit in the base of me. Why doesn't David HaMelech ask for seichel? You can sit in the Beis Medrash and space out. You can sit a whole Shavuos night and just daydream, right? But if you have seichel and you understand what you're reading and you can hold it in a piece of Gemara, it's a geshmak. So why David has shifted the Beis Hashem? The Shai was, give me seichel, give me das, give me avon, and that should be the Shai. Okay. Another question is, it says that Avraham Avinu kept the entire Torah, including Erev Tavshilin. So Freit, the Revolvin, the Alei Shur, how did he understand this all? How did he figure this all out? You know, everything in the Torah he understood, and it says, how did he know it? Me'atzmoi. He, from himself, he figured it all out himself. How did he figure it out? What is the pshat over here?
But that he couldn't figure out.
What? How he figured it out.
Except one thing. You said it's said you kept everything except.
Well, I said including Erev Tashiva.
Including.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a couple of other questions maybe we'll get to later on. There's a Shaila. Rav Meir Chodesh asked, the Mishnah says, Yofesh Sho Achas, so Tshuva Maisi Toivin Chol Chai Eilom Hazeh, V'yofesh Sho Achas Sho Eilom Habo Mikol Chai Eilom Hazeh. This is something that doesn't stim over here. If Eilom Habo, one moment of Eilom Habo is better than all of Chai Eilom Hazeh, so how can one moment of Tshuva in Eilom Hazeh be equal to Kol Chai Eilom Habo? How do you understand this? So, you have all these shilas, and there's a couple of other shilas that are asked. So this in the Sefer, Toichei Rotz of Arba, the name of the Sefer, ask these questions. So this is a Yesoid, that with this we're going to try to answer all these questions. And it's possible that the Yesoid is the Mesilas Yeshorim. Mesilas Yeshorim says, based on David HaMelech, he says, "Because yistakel oy ba-David here, if you look into life, you'll see ki ashlemus v'amiti rakat dveikus bo yisporach. The only real shlemus in life is dveikus with Hashem. U'mashah yedavad HaMelech oy mevani kirvas elekim li'toy. As far as I'm concerned, the only thing that's good is kirvas Hashem." Oimer, it says, Acha shualti meis Hashem, alisavake, shifti beveis Hashem, kol yimechai. Ki rak zehu latoy, that's the only goodness. Zul zula ze she yachshivu ben odu latoy, enu ala hevel de shovnisse. So, whatever other people think is good is a mistake. They're imagining it. The real good is kirvas Hashem. And that's really what he says in the beginning of Mesilas Yeshorim. Is you should be misara and misamis to a person. What's his job in this world? So he says, what is your job in this world? And he says, what Chazal taught us is we were created, we're created to have the pleasure of the Vekas with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's the ultimate Tainuk, and it's the greatest Tainuk, and the place for that ultimately is Oilum Abob. We have to earn it in Oilum Hazeh. But even in Oilum Hazeh, David HaMelech says that Kirbas Hashem is Tov. The only real goodness is Kirbas Hashem. So, if you understand that, to give an example what that means. So, the example that they give is, let's say, a father gives a child a toy. So the kid gets the toy and he's happy with the toy, he's playing with the toy. But on a deeper level, what's the real joy? A child realizes on some level that his father loves him and that's why he bought him a toy. And that's the real hanah that the child has. You know, on some level, if we understand that what we have in life is a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we think deeply, we understand that it represents Hashem's love for us, that He's giving us these things out of love. That creates a dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, you say that Dvorim is, David HaMelech says, I want to sit in the Beis Medrash. David HaMelech says, what matters is dveikus with Hashem. If I sit in the Beis Medrash, if I sit, shifty beveis Hashem, that means I have a dveikus with Hashem, and that's all I need. Everything else will fall into place. What I want is a dveikus with Hashem, and that's everything. They ask a question. It says that when the Beis Medrash was destroyed, so the gates of Tefillah were closed. But the Shari Demo'is lo minalu, the gates of tears were never closed. So the question is, Why were the what's tears better than tefillah? I daven to Hashem, I'm talking to Hashem, I ask Hashem what I need. What's up? The gates of tears are any better? Right? The teretz is a person davens and becomes emotional and he starts to cry. That means you're close to Hashem. You don't start crying if you don't feel a kirva to Hashem. when you feel a closeness, you get emotional and you cry. If you don't have any closeness, you don't get emotional, right? You know, I took my daughter to the airport when she went to seminary like 100 years ago, right? So, you know, I wanted to be the macho man, the father who doesn't, but I was mamish crying. Why? Because I love my daughter and she's gone away for a year. And this was before you talked on the phone 16 times a day, right? This was, they offered us a deal that $1 a day, $1 a minute. That was the deal. You got $1 a minute if you want to call Eretz Yisrael, right? So Grada came home that day. We came home to the house, and there it's a bracha in the house. It wasn't the same. It was empty, and it was dark, and we were both a bracha, and, you know, we're not going to see our daughter for a year. And the mail comes, and I had been very close to a family in Phoenix from going fundraising. I open up the envelope. It's a letter from this lady, the two crisp $100 bills, and she writes, "This money is just to be used for calling Tzipora." So it was a nice thing to get. Anyway, so anyway, I'll call Pony.
Yeah, like, you know,
so after the first week,
you get 3 hours of
right. Yeah, so we were still pretty. Pretty cheap on the phone call. But, anyway, so you get emotional, and that's what the Pshari, the Mois, because when you have that Kirva, that breaks through every barrier. That's the love. You can realize that it's what's the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. We ask the world, what Hashem doesn't give up oil is, you say the Eretz Yisrael is Eine Hashem Lekecha Bo Meireshis Hashem. The Kuntz of Eretz Yisrael is the Vekas with HaKadosh Baruch. Everybody goes to Eretz Yisrael, they come back, wow, it was great. What was great? No one says it was great because I liked falafel or I had shawarma, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe some people do, but you went to Eretz Yisrael, there was a feeling, there was a hergish of Vekas by Hashem. How do you touch it up? You go to the Kaisel, you just... You can't imagine what it was like when it was a Beis HaMikdash. You're not shy. You go to the Kaisel, you're a little nicer with Meir Schuster. Meir Schuster peeled guys off the Kaisel left and right. What was he doing? These guys came to the Kaisel and they got blown away and he took them straight to Meir Weinberg. And his famous Meiser, this guy, comes to Meir Weinberg and he sees the guy's mamish an atheist. Mamish had died in the world atheist. He's trying to prove that there's a God. And the guy, he says, so how did you get here? Like, how did Meir Schuster get here? You're an atheist. So he says, well, I was by the wall. You know, everyone does the wall. And I had a feeling. But I'm an atheist. How could I have a feeling or something? So I said, God, if you're really there, I don't believe you're there, but if you are, give me a sign. At that moment, Meir Schuster tapped me on the shoulder and he said, would you like to meet God? So here I am. Eventually became Meshem Shabbos. You know, he's living in Bnei Brak with 14 children. You know, so I was like, hey, this. But that's the Kaisel. It's not shy. It's such a musig. So it's all about the Vekas with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Eretz Yisrael. And so this is the Yisoyed Vorim. Eretz Yisrael creates that kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the answer why the Levim, Vnei Kohas, their whole machus in life was dveikus b'Hashem. All they wanted was kirbus Hashem. The Orin HaKadosh, Yishtel Zuchu, what the Kaisel was like. Can you imagine holding the Orin HaKadosh Alein, which is with the Kadosh HaKadoshim, to be carrying the Orin HaKadosh, the Dveikus you would have with Hashem is not to be believed. If your whole life is aspiring for Dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's everything. So for Shteitzach, they weren't crazy to have the opportunity. They were willing to give up everything for those moments of Dveikus. So Moshe says to Aaron, take care of it. You can't wipe them all out. You're going to go crazy. It's not the pshat they were Meshigganers. This is what life is. Life is for the makers. Every time you do a mitzvah, you should think, Asher kibishonu b'mitzvah, so why am I doing the mitzvah for the makers with Hashem? And David Pavarsky says, I learned the Chazal. You do it. The Chazal say that filu rishoyim malayim mitzvahs karimim. So they asked the question, if they're filled with mitzvahs like a rima, why are they rishoyim? And it was the pshat. So, and what's wrong? So he says the pshat is azay. A rimoin has a lot of pits. But it has 613. You can experiment yourself. But it has a lot of pits in it. But they're all separate. They're all different pits. But there's not one central connection. They touch each other. But you have a lot of pits. But the same thing, they have mitzvahs. But there's not one central objective, which is dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what they're lacking. If you're doing the mitzvahs, but it's not with a kavanah, I want a dveikus, then each mitzvah is a separate entity, but it doesn't have that kesher. So the ikar, the yisoid of every mitzvah, is a vehicle to create dveikus with Hashem. The mitzvahs are 613 avenues to have dveikus with Hashem. Avraham Avinu was the merkav of the Shekhinah. He was right there, where everything emanates from Hashem. Avraham Avinu was right there. He was the merkav of the Shekhinah. He could see where every single shaykhus to kirbas Hashem comes from. The Mela, he could see what every mitzvah was. Because if you're right there by the Shoyrich, you're right there, you're the Merkava, you see where it's all leading to, you understand every mitzvah naturally, because you're right there, you're at the source of the Kirva. So he naturally understood everything and every aspect and every kesher and shaykhus from the Shaykh Tavar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do mitzvahs with all the objectives. I want to be close to Hashem. That's what I'm putting on a talis to be close to Hashem. I'm putting on my tefillin to be close to Hashem. I'm keeping Shabbos to me. Every mitzvah creates that bond. Mitzvah comes to Hashem. It's savos. It's a connection. That's the yisoid advarim. So you find a fascinating thing in Chumash Vayikra, the very beginning. It says, a korban mechoscha ba melech timloch, we sashbis melech brisa lekecha mi almin chosecha, a kol kumbon chatakris melech. So Rashi brings down that what's the idea of this melech bris? Rashi says, a bris krusa la melech misheshi me bracious. There was a bris with the salt. Shehuftachu amayim atachtoinu li korib amizbeach be melech. The mayim atachtoinu were promised that they'll be brought on this beyach as salt, and nisach hamayim bechag. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya elaborates on this, and he says, al derech ha-medrish, b'yesh bo b'yir, l'derech ha-kabbalah. So I'm going to teach you a little Kabbalah. B'riz kerusa l'melech, m'sheshe b'yibreish, shehuftachu mayim ha-taptoin l'ikoriv, b'melech v'nisach hamayim bechag. The mayim was promised, you'll be brought as nisach hamayim and on every korban. The medrash says that the water down here in this world is called crying water. When Hashem divided the upper waters and the lower waters, they cried, whatever that means. What does it mean? With tears, the Mayim HaTachtoinim separated from the Mayim HaYoyim. They said, woe is to us, we're not going to be close to Hashem. So me'osu, what did they do? They split, all the water split, and they wanted to go up to Shemayim. They said, we're not performing. And it's going to split, and no rivers, right? Atchegovim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem screamed at them. Shenemer hanoisin bayom derech umayim azim nesim. HaKadosh Baruch created a path, right? He made a path in the yam, and with the mayim azim, the chutzpedika waters, he created a path. Goyim bayom ayavshehu, he screamed at the yam and dried it up. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, hoil chloidi asizim kach, you didn't do this because You want to despise me. You did it out of covet. You want to be close to me. So that Mayim El Yoinim can't sing Shira till they get permission from you. Not only that, you'll also be brought right? So, this is what happened. So here again, what do you see? The waters were crying. They wanted Kirbas Hashem, right? The whole idea that you put salt on the table is to represent that you want Kirbas Hashem. And it represents the water's desire for Kirbas Hashem. The Zohar brings down That's the pshat. That when we cry, the idea of crying, you have water. Tears come out as water because it represents the mayim hatachtoinim that were crying because they wanted to be closer to Hashem. So every person, every tear has to come out as tears. So water and salt in the tears to represent the water that was crying. So that's the idea of the waves. The water is still trying to reach up to Shemayim. It still hasn't given up. It's still the hishtaikikas of Kirvas Hashem is manifested. The waves rise up, and Hashem screams at them, and they come back down again. They rise up, represents this hishtaikikas. It's constant yearning to have Kirvas Hashem. That's reflected in the waves as they hit the ground. They can't go further, but there's a hishtaikikas of Kirvas Hashem. And so this is the Yisoy. The whole tachlis of life is to create a bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so this answers many of these questions: why Eretz Yisrael was so special, how Avram knew Kol HaTorah Kula, why Shevet Levi wanted so badly to be able to carry them, because the whole tachlis of life is to have a dveikus with Hashem. And that's the way we have to measure ourselves. You know, what are you here for? You're here to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's your tachlis. And so maybe we should be zoicha to have that shaychus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and go on from Shavuos the rest of the year with the dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
There's a separate mitzvah to be dveik. What?